I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Welcome to Cheaper Than Therapy, a podcast that journeys into conversations with the intention of demystifying, destigmatizing, and desensitizing what really gets talked about behind the closed doors of the therapy room.
I'm Vanessa Bennett.
And I'm Danae Selkin.
And we're seekers, soul sisters, and holders of sacred space. So join us as we dive into the ways that therapy can be connecting not only to yourself, but also to those around you.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Cheaper Than Therapy.
Danae and I are super excited to talk about the fact that we have our first in-person retreat coming up this January, the first week actually, January 2nd through 7th in Carefree, Arizona. It's going to be a stunner.
This retreat is happening at Sivana Retreat, which is like, I could not be more excited for this.
I know.
It's so beautiful, so luxurious, and you know, I feel like we have been so hungry to come together in community for certainly over a year now.
At least.
You know, we were really committed to like, we want to do this in a way that feels safe for everyone and in a way that we can really hold some therapeutic containing work, but also really create community in a way that all of us have been so hungry to feel it for so long now.
Yeah. And if you guys are listening to the podcast, then you know what Danae and I are about, right? You know that we are all about getting in there, deep diving, getting beneath the surface. And so we're going to bring together, it's basically going to be a week of us bringing together all of the deepest, most integrative work that her and I do on a day-to-day basis, right? Mm. So we're going to be doing shadow work. We're going to be doing inner child work. We're going to be talking about the mother wound. We're going to be, you know, getting in and digging out old codependent relationship behaviors and patterns. I mean, there is so much that we are packing into this week.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Thematic healing work. Whew. And, you know, we're going to dive into masculine and feminine dynamics, which we're obsessed with. But, you know, to me, this is really going to be like us supporting you in leveling up, you not only your spiritual tools and your toolkit in general, but, you know, how you want to enter 2022, right?
Yeah. How can you learn to live from the most authentic place or the most authentic space that you possibly can? That is really our hope, to be able to give you the tools to do that in the best way that you can.
Love it. This is From Self-Abandonment to Inner Belonging, the intensive, like you said, V, January 2nd through 7th in Carefree, Arizona. Join us.
Yeah. It's on my website, vanessabennett.com/retreats. So today we are talking to Sarah, and Sarah wrote in with an interesting topic. I mean, I think it's something that I have heard a handful of times with other clients, and with my partner, actually, we've discussed something similar as well. So Sarah, it sounds like you recently went through a breakup, and it sounds like the breakup included a wedding that was called off only a couple days prior. right? And one of the larger kind of underlying topics is really around specifically in Asian culture, but when it's not just about the partner, it's also about the family. And, you know, how much of this is like, I need to also marry the family versus the other person, right? Mm-hmm. And struggling kind of with like, how do I date now that all of this has come?
So true. So this was 2 years back, but feels like a year back because of the whole COVID. I think that whole 1 year went into maybe therapy. Most for me, it was just being alone and being with myself and figuring out what went wrong, even from my side. So, and after that, dating again. Oh my God, it's been a struggle to say the least. And in our Asian culture, in our culture, it's just... you not only see the guy, you see the parents, you see the family. And if it's not that you see them, they see you. Mm-hmm. And they are so involved in our lives. Mm. Like we don't move out after 18. We stay with our parents. We stay with our families. And even if we don't stay together, they are continuously part of our small decisions to big decisions. Yeah. Like I'll give you an example. I came across this guy. Very kind, down to earth, you know, but just very a kind soul. And for some reason, I liked being friends with him, but didn't want to take it further. So I was very clear from the start that I'm not ready. I am not ready for a full-on relationship. I'm not ready to get into this thing. And suddenly the parents come in and say, no, either don't talk to her or just date. Seriously, like there was no middle ground for me to move on. And it just got complicated because honestly, more than a partner, I need friends right now. And to have found such a good friend and to just leave it because of complications, it just didn't sit right with me because my parents never did this to me. So they are a big part of my lives. Like I can't even take any big decision without telling them or, you know, taking in their opinions. But it's still for me to face something like this, it triggered me. I didn't want it to trigger me, but it triggered me so much. Like, how could I not be accepted? I think that was my underlying thing.
I was going to ask you, what did it trigger in you? So not being accepted. Okay.
Yeah. So not being accepted, not like, and why would parents always, it's just that first question that comes in, how are the parents? How are the family? And we are traditionally that culture that you stay with the parents after marriage also. So, you know, we have to take that also. So anyone asks us, is he staying with parents? Is he now? And because of the whole marriage thing, for some reason, I keep getting proposals from parents and, like, you know, they want the marriage proposals keep coming in because they feel just because I was ready for for a wedding and a marriage with that guy. I'm ready right now.
Right. And so then it becomes like, how do you get to the place of feeling like you're ready for marriage when it feels like everybody else around you is almost like rushing? Like you said, there's no middle ground. It's like, we're either getting ready to get married or we're not speaking at all.
True. And it's just, and either it's the extremes, right? People just want to sleep and fuck off. Like, sorry for the language, but okay.
I have a bad mouth too.
So it's either of the two spectrums. I don't know how to find middle ground. And then I'm continuously getting triggered and continuously having these bad dates that I'm like, forget dating. I don't want to date now. I want to be with myself more. Like I would rather be alone and not cope with the anxiety around it.
Well, it's interesting. You know, I just finished reading Dr. Shefali Sperry, I think is how you say her last name, her book, A Radical Awakening. And she talks a lot about this in the context of Asian cultures and, you know, the cultural pressures around marriage and like, and women. And, you know, what I found so interesting that she spoke to was that a lot of times the cultural component of families that you're speaking to is just sort of like, how do I say this? Like the blatant extreme of what's happening on a cultural level anyway. Meaning, I think a lot of times what our culture presents to women is it's 20, you're like around 28, that biological clock, like you need to get married, hurry up. Like, what are you doing? Where's the husband? Where's the babies? Like, let's get going. And so maybe it's a little bit less, blatant on a like cultural collective level, but you know, when my family is so like, you know, in my face with the extreme, or families are with the extreme of like, no, you were ready, like you should still be ready. Let's go. Let's get this marriage thing done. It's really dehumanizing, to be honest.
It's not about you at all, right?
Yeah. Like, yeah. I mean, you could be anything. You're just like an object to marry my son, to create some babies, to carry on this lineage. And I just want to speak to like what that feels like internally to be objectified in that way.
Yeah, it feels not accepting. Like, I think fine, I should be accepted for who I am. I should not be changing continuously how I, you know, how I feel about stuff, or how I should be able to say that I don't like a guy and want to be friends. I should be able to say that I am not ready. I'm 28, but I'm still not ready, even for a serious relationship. No,
yeah.
I can't. I have been dating since I was 14. I think I don't think, and I was in a 7-year relationship with this guy. And it we called off our wedding 2 days before. We were engaged for a year. So it was just something.
How do you feel about that now? So it's been a couple of years. Can I ask where you're at with the feelings around the relationship that ended and the called off wedding? Like, are you feeling in a place of peace and acceptance about that?
Yes. Yes. Relieved because the last 10, 20 days, I think, was pure torture for me. Sure. Like, I don't recognize myself from that phase of my life. I'd become this crying, clingy kind of a person who was just begging for someone to be with her.
Yeah.
That person clearly didn't want to. So.
And that doesn't sound like you right now at all. Even in this short conversation we've had, I don't get that energy from you.
I get like that in relationships. I'm this out, no one would believe what I went through then, you know, because they would always feel like you must be the dominating one. You must be doing this, but I am not. In relationships, I become this, I think codependent is the word for it. I become this person who needs to be taken care of. Like, I like to be taken care of for a change, because I've really not been a child since my childhood, I think. So yeah, you know, something I just want to lose control to someone. I want to give up control to someone, to trust someone like that. But it just, and yeah, like things come up for me right now. And especially in this dating culture where people are like, either you date on Bumble and Tinder, where you go on these short dates and sleep and forget about it, or else you go into the marriage proposals. There is, and sleeping with someone is another, I think, thing for me. Never, it's so, I don't know how to, I don't even think I'll be, I don't know. That's, that's another thing, because I've never slept with anyone other than that ex of mine. So it really brings up so many issues for me, this whole thing, dating culture.
God. Feel that so deeply, Sarah. So I guess the question that's coming up for me, and I really want to hold with reverence, the very real cultural pressures that we feel from our family. I don't know what your situation is right now in terms of what, where you're living and what that looks like. But when you think about standing in the space of, for me, right now, what I need is to do me a little bit. What I need is to be in the space of self-exploration and really identifying what some of my own needs are before I am ready to share my life with someone else. What does that bring up? Does that feel like that's even something that could be possible to step into a little bit?
Maybe, yeah, of course, stepping into discovering myself, like what I really like. Like, I think all my choices have been dependent on people I've dated, or, you know, or family. If for the first time, I have, for some, a little bit given that freedom to explore what you like, you know. Mm-hmm. Now I'm, last time when I was dating, I was in college and no financially not well. Right now I'm financially well, doing well for myself. Mm-hmm. So you know, I have that freedom plus the maturity to explore that part of myself. Like I want to travel, I want to really get to do stuff which I used to think, oh, I'll get married and do it. Mm-hmm. No, this I won't be allowed right now. Like I was never allowed on solo trips. It was always said, get married and go.
Okay.
So, you know, yeah, that way.
So this feels important because this really important. Now we're in the space of like what I can do, but is also very difficult to do, right? Mm-hmm. Like you're in the space of what V and I would call like the individuation process and really attempting to identify like, what are my truths that feel true for me versus what I have been just sort of conditioned to believe needs to be the truth. And
so true.
Yeah. And that's, I don't even for a second want to minimize how difficult embodying that space is, because it's, I believe, some of the most difficult and important work of our lifetime.
Well, and especially add the difficult factor of having to stand up and kind of justify it to your family. Right. Absolutely. I mean, that adds a whole layer to it. And I don't want to minimize too, like, you know, I know when I speak about codependency, I do try, especially when I do the class around upbringing, I try to kind of put that caveat around, like, we are talking about this from a very Western perspective, right? Like, boundaries and putting all these structures in place and, you know, being individual. And like, this is a very Western approach to relationships. Right. And so it does need to be said that there are, you know, cultural components, whether it's the Asian culture or like Latin American cultures, for example, very collectivistic. And there's nothing wrong with being raised in and living in a collectivist culture. As a matter of fact, there's a lot of really amazing things that the Western culture actually misses out on massively. Right. By how individual we all think we need to be. So mm-hmm. It is a little bit of a give and take to there too, right? Like you can still love and be accepted and held by some components to this cultural, to the cultural norms that we've been speaking of. And for your own sake, there could be parts of them that the conversations with family needs to be like, listen, this doesn't sit with me. You know, this is what I want. This is what I desire. This is what I need. And it's tough because you're in that generation. I think that's actually happening more and more, right? That are like, this part, I'm not carrying this part on, right? Like, I don't want this part for myself. I want to travel alone, or I don't want to date right now, or whatever it is. And so you've got a little bit of stuff on your shoulders because you're kind of in that generation that's like changing it, you know?
Yeah. And, you know, our parents are growing with us. You know, I've understood that part of it. Like even they are doing it for the first time. So they are, and right now, even they are going through a massive change. My mother went from blaming me to blaming herself to right now being my support system, you know, and telling me, go out. It's fine. You know, you don't want to date, don't date. But she's also, you know, at some point because of her thing and because of her upbringing and all of that, society as such, they keep telling her, right? They keep telling her, your daughter is 28, your son is 31, get them married. What are they doing? You know, that's the first question that comes up when people meet. What are they doing? They don't ask, how's the career going?
Yeah.
Like, not to brag, but I am about to become a partner in my own firm.
That's and huge. And by the way,
let's please brag.
But brag on, my love. Please.
Brag. Worked for that. Good. Yeah.
Yeah.
I am the first. I'm a chartered accountant. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I'm the first chartered accountant in four generations of my family, with no family background, no support. You know, I have done it, and I've become a partner in a 33-year-old firm. Where they wanted me, they didn't, you know, it was like that.
Interesting how we found the wanting and the acceptance.
Yes.
We're so clearly longing for in romantic relationships. And yet we've actually made it happen for ourselves in our career.
But no one asked me that. And even if I say, you know, if I became a partner, next question will come. So who are you dating?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And when I, you know, that's the next thing, but And even this profession, I have had to, you know, really deal with issues here, because there are issues with passive aggressive bosses, and, you know, and because we are at our work cultures a lot, at our, like, we spend at least 10 hours a day there. So things come up more there for me. Like, I have had panic attacks all throughout, I think, when I was dealing with stuff. And it has changed a lot for me there also. That is why I was on the verge of resigning and, you know, traveling the world, and then COVID happened. Yeah. So, and then this happened. So things have changed for me a lot. So,
but it feels, Sarah, like actually they've changed, and yet it almost feels like everything is working together. Like the way you're talking about it, the themes feel so clear. It feels like you're being presented with so many opportunities to do the same kind of work internally, whether it's, you know, through job or through relation or through family. Like, I think what Danae said earlier, it's like, this feels like such a strong moment of individuation for you, where you're on this like cusp of being like, who am I? What do I want? What do I need? What do I demand? What should I be able to brag about? What do I, you know, all these questions that are very normal and natural questions. Like, I mean, listen, you're in your Saturn return right now. Like, this is the time, this is the age, like 27, 28, 29, like this is it. Like, I'm not saying that to like scare you, but it's almost exciting in a hard way.
Yes, it's exciting, but it's still hard.
I know.
It's still hard on days when it's still so hard, because I'm on everything that I have learned, I have to fight on every level, you know, for every inch and every space you have to fight. And, you know, for the first year, I got that whole, she's going through a breakup, it's okay, give her what she wants, listen to her, all of that. But I think that died down, and now it's like, okay,
that's back to sanity.
Yeah. So,
you know, Sarah, listening to you talk about your mom, and I do think, because I work with a lot of clients who have similar struggles around family of origin and the cultural expectations. And I do see that there are things shifting, meaning some of what Vanessa is saying is true about how we are understanding that some of what we have been as an individual, this society, isn't working. And some of the ways that we need to return to some sort of like collectivist community way of experiencing one another while still being able to have authenticity and autonomy within ourselves, we're figuring out how to integrate these things. But what I will say about our parents, and, you know, as a parent, I feel this so strongly, all our parents want is for us to be okay, for us to be safe. And a lot of times what we as parents are putting on our children are the conditionings that we have had from society, right? Like, this is what I know that my daughter needs to have and be in order to be safe in this world. And it's not from a space of not loving us. It's just from, I want to make sure you're okay. And this is what I've experienced life to be, right? But I hear you saying, my mom is attempting to really see me and understand me. And there's this line in Glennon Doyle's book, Untamed, where she says, a woman becomes a responsible adult when she becomes a disobedient daughter.
I love that line.
And I think why that's important is because sometimes what we are teaching, and, you know, as the children of our parents, sometimes it does become our work to be the pioneers, to be the paradigm shifters, and show them that there's another way of being and we'll all be okay. You're teaching your parents, as you stand in your power, you don't have to worry about me. I'm going to be okay. I believe in me. You know what I mean? Yeah. And then they believe in you too.
I think that's so true. I have to be the disobedient daughter. Yeah. But it's just so hard, you know, when people, you know, it's so hard to be, because all people talk about is you. And because our community is so small, I feel I can't break away from that tag of that, you know, she had that canceled marriage. That's the first thing that comes up in any conversation. And I'm like, okay, move forward. And people want to know why it happened, how it happened. And I am like, no one will know except both of us what we went through, because I can't explain 7 years of things to them.
Or should you, by the way?
Yeah.
And here's what I'd like to offer about them wanting to know why. Mm-hmm. The reason that people seek understanding of like why a relationship ends or why a marriage ended is because they're attempting to keep themselves safe. Meaning, mm-hmm. what can I sort of guard against in my own relationship to make sure this doesn't happen to me, right? That's what they're looking for. That's their projections. And it's really not for you to hold, right? Mm-hmm. So if you can see it and stand back and say, oh, they're afraid about what they have been conditioned to believe they need to be in society to feel safe. This actually has nothing to do with me. And so I'm not gonna take that on, you know? I know the truth of what went on behind closed doors between us. I know what is true about my life and where I'm headed. And their stuff is for them to handle, for them to work through. It's really none of my business. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And the mothers of the guys are all into why, what did she go do wrong? Mm-hmm. You know, they are guarding themselves against that.
Well, and listen, I think the good thing, Sarah, is that like, if you know right now, because it sounds like you're pretty sure about this, like, you know, right now that you're not in a stage or a place where you are actively looking for that, right? Like, you're not looking to get married right now, like maybe eventually fine, but right now, you know, that's not where you're at. Yeah. So then again, going back to what Danae said, it's like, let them hold that. Because I think right now the work that you're doing is so profound in that this experience doesn't define you. It's a piece of you. It is a part of your story, right? And the further into this, the further along on this journey that you get, the further into this individuation process that you get, the more like integrated that story and other stories become. And the less you feel like I need to explain this one piece of myself, the less you feel like this is some kind of scarlet letter, right? That you have to carry around with you. And the further along in that journey you get, the easier it actually does become to be like, yeah, I'm not going to really answer that. Like, that's not really, we can talk about something else.
I have just started that.
Right.
I have started that.
Good for you.
I can't do that again.
No.
But and it's not their business. Is it wrong to want that individuation process, but still crave for that love and attention and
No way. I mean, look, we all want connection. That's a very normal human desire.
We're wired for it.
Wired for it, right? We're wired for connection. It's part of our survival, right? I mean, as animals, literally, you know? Mm-hmm. And so it's very normal. And it's normal to want both autonomy and also attachment. Like, these are the two biggest desires that the human animal has.
But it has to be authentic to me attachment. Yes. It has to be attachment that feels like it's true to my soul. And you will know when that's the way it feels. And what I feel like we are hearing you say is that's what I'm on a quest to find, is a place where I can soften into this, you know, this feminine essence that you're speaking to, of wanting to be held, of wanting to feel like, you know, I can be soft and I can be safe. And this can be the space in the world where I feel okay. And I still feel like Sarah. I still feel like the true expression of who I am, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And just want to be, you know, maybe, you know, authentic connection. That's the, because I keep analyzing anyone who comes, am I going back to my own old patterns? Mm-hmm. Am I, you know, I'm so scared, that fear of, I don't know, heartbreak again. Mm-hmm. Can't go through that. It was hard.
Well, you said a very important word. You said analyzing, right? And so what I would invite you to do is get a little bit out of the headspace and drop into the body space and pay attention to how this feels. And when you start to feel fear creep in, because it inevitably will, because when we're attempting to open ourselves up to love, that is one of the most vulnerable spaces we can enter. And then ask in those moments where I start to feel like fear is creeping in, but what would love say about this? What is, you know, my instinctual pull towards love say about this person? Like, does this resonate? Do I want this person, right? If I'm defending against what I'm afraid of, then that's not my authentic self. If I'm moving in the direction of what my soul really loves and really feels alive when it's in the space of, then that's true.
And it's scary, because if you do in any way, you know, struggle with the codependent stuff, I mean, that authentic nature is kind of buried sometimes. Mm. And so it does take some experimentation. It takes some trial and error to actually figure out what that body sensation is, you know, not get out of the head and actually into the body. That takes practice. That's not something that we can just turn on and off, because that head is there to protect us. And it's done a good job thus far until it didn't. And so now it's like, oh my God, what do I believe? What do I trust? Right. And that's normal. And I think that, look, even if you're not in the space to get into a serious relationship, all of these little micro experiences that you're having are still giving you an opportunity for the trial and error to pay attention to what's coming up for you in that body space that Danae is talking about. That really is your intuition. That really is your authentic self. Because when you get to the place where it feels right, by that time, you've had all these experiences that are strengthening that muscle. And so when you get to that place, you'll be able to actually listen deeper than you would if you weren't allowing yourself these little individual experiences. And by the way, these experiences are coming up at work. They're coming up in family situations, right? It's not just in the romantic relationships that we're learning how to trust ourselves. And so you don't have to be putting yourself in serious relationships in order to be feeling into and strengthening that part of yourself, right? This is a lifelong process of trial and error.
Yeah. And I feel like what I hear you saying, B, is like, you can give yourself permission to slow down in the process totally. So that you learn to tune into what I'm feeling yes. in my body so that I'm responding versus reacting to what I'm afraid of. And I think that that's the journey you're on. And I know that we would love if you would keep us posted and just let us know how you're doing yeah. and send us an email and let us know how you're going with that space of slowing down and tuning into what's inside of you. Okay.
I would love that. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Sarah. Really appreciate you coming on. This is great. And yeah, like Danae said, please let us know. Keep us posted. And maybe we'll do even like a follow-up later.
Check in yes, with you. We'll do that. All for right. sure.
Thank you so much, Sarah. Okay.
Thank you.
I'm so glad we had that conversation. I feel like that's something that, you know, we've talked about. It can be really challenging to hold space for what are some of the cultural components that really need to be honored as we are still attempting to do some of the individuation work that we support clients with, you know?
Yeah. And I've had a lot of people actually reach out to me, like whether it's DMs or whether it's like in the lab, talk about how it's really tough. I think, you know, I think I spoke to this in the actual episode, but like the generational difference too. And I think there is this push and this drive to respect both. Like you said, it's the and not the but, right? It's like, I can see the importance of, let's say, like the collectivistic cultural components, and I still want to have autonomy and I want to find, you know, space to be my authentic self. And what does that mean? What does that look like? How do I do that within the confines of the family structure? And, you know, I don't want to be disrespectful and all these things. So I think that Sarah puts words to it all beautifully and really brings the struggle to light. And I think it's just that, I think it's like holding the and instead of it being a but.
Yeah. You know, I feel like we talk about a lot that there's no such thing as one way liberation or that one person is liberated through any experience. And I think what I find a lot of times is as we attempt to, as you so beautifully just said, hold the and of, I want to respect my family and my culture and, you know, our values, and I need to step into some version of my authentic self that is expanding. I think we give a little bit of permission to our family and sometimes like our parents and our community really to do that for themselves as well, you know?
Mm-hmm. But it does not mean it's not uncomfortable.
Thanks for joining us for this episode of Cheaper Than Therapy.
If you enjoyed today's episode, be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
And if you want to connect with us, you can find us on Instagram at Vanessa S. Bennett
and at Danae Logan Selkin.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.